This is A.T. Perry, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and of course, hold on, wait, it's saying that an error happened, and I hear Trash Man's mic, and everything is going. Are we live? And Trash Man, what the hell's going on with your mic?
We're live. We're live on Twitter. There's an issue right now on YouTube, so we're going to upload, and you know, so I'll upload it right after this is done on Twitter. So. But we're live on Twitter.
Live on Twitter. Okay. I'm going to start over again for the whole YouTube feed so we can just upload it there. Ready? 3, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined here by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man. Reminder, you can find all of our content at RosterWatch.com. If you like what we're doing here on YouTube or on the podcast feed, make sure to like, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. If you can leave a comment down below, that would be helpful as well. Trash Man, Cody, talking today about 6 players ready to break out in 2024 fantasy football. I know that I'm pumped about mine. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Still vibing off of the eclipse.
Vibing?
You didn't feel 4 minutes. You didn't feel weird after it? I don't know.
My dog did.
My dog slept for the entire day.
My chickens felt really weird too, man. They went into the coop and they didn't know what to do once the sun came back out. It's like, what? Anyway, chickens coming home to roost here as far as early best ball leagues. And we're talking about breakout players. Here's the first guy that I want to talk about. And it has to do with a few different things. And look, it's not coming from out of left field that this guy's going to break out, because he's going at like 5 or 6 overall as far as your early best ball leagues. But I think it's warranted, and that's Bijan Robinson. The reason being is that, you know, with Kirk Cousins going to the Atlanta Falcons, it's going to elevate the whole entire offense. And you just look at it from a macro level, and you look what Kirk Cousins has been able to do in the seasons, not counting 2023, which got derailed by injury, right? But the 5 prior seasons in Minnesota, the total number of points scored by that offense, we're looking at what, 360, 407, 430, 425, 424 for an average of 409.2 per regular season. That would have been 8th overall in total points scored as far as the offense goes in 2023, if you were just to take the average of what Kirk Cousins has done with a varied, you know, surrounding cast. It hasn't always had the same dudes in place that they have now. That would be 8th in 2023, whereas if you look at it, so 409.2 points, whereas if you look at Atlanta this year, 321 points scored, that was 7th worst in the whole NFL. So you're talking about the team that would have been 8th place if you take the average of what Cousins has done versus the team that was the 7th worst this year. And Atlanta, clearly there's going to be more points to be scored, and clearly Bijan Robinson is going to be a big part of that. We know how he can be used as a receiver. We know how he only had 4 rushing touchdowns last year. And so when you talk about all these extra points being scored, I mean, Bijan Robinson is in a prime position to do it. Kirk Cousins over the course of
the Falcons only had 4 touchdowns last year.
Felt like it. Kirk Cousins over the course of his career, probably a little bit more of, averaged about 99 running back targets per year during his time in Minnesota, 95 per year during his time in Washington versus Washington in addition to his time in Minnesota. So, you know, he's thrown a little bit more as he's gotten a little bit older to the running backs. He's had 2 seasons in Minnesota where he's gone over 115 targets to his running backs. Now, Bijan last year had, what, 86 targets, something like that. So it wasn't like Bijan was hurting for targets before, but – it felt like you know, if you look at the running back targets per team last year, even if you take Kirk Cousins' whole entire body of work for his whole career at 95, it still puts him top half of the league as far as, you know, targets to running backs. Whenever you add all that stuff in there, and the fact that, man, Kirk Cousins has played on teams where running backs have had good years as far as rushing touchdowns. And I think it just has to go with the fact that these teams score, you know, they score a lot of points and they get down in scoring position often. And it's just, he's a good facilitator of offense. If you take the number of touchdowns that Atlanta had on the ground last year, and you combine it with just all the teams that Cousins has played for since back to 2016, I think is when he got his, either 2015 or 2016 is when he got his first full season start with Washington. You're looking at an average of like two more rushing touchdowns per year than Atlanta had last season among all of its players. So all signs to me point to Bijan Robinson in his second year when he should be set to break out anyway, better coaching staff, better offensive mind, much, much, much bigger upgraded quarterback. People talk about how it's such a big help for Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I think that this thing's going to start and end with Bijan.
You don't think there's still going to be somewhat of a committee in that backfield?
Maybe. And the, you know, the other thing, the only other thing that brings some slight concern to me was I did look up some of the Zach Robinson stuff. I got the feeling that Zach Robinson was a offensive coordinator that really integrated a receiving running back quite often during his time in Los Angeles. That's the way it felt to me. In 2022 and 2023, that wasn't the case. But I think that had to do with the fact that they just, you know, in 2023 behind Kyren, it was like, what it was like the second leading receiver for the team was, as far as the running backs, was Daryl Henderson, and he only had like 12 catches, and behind him was Ronnie Rivers, who had like three. So I think it has something to do with personnel, but one hole that you can't poke in it is that Zach Robinson over the last 2 years in Los Angeles as the passing game coordinator has not been a prolific passer to his running backs. Now, I think this is pretty easily explainable. This last year, you just want to get the ball to Puka, you want to get it to Cooper Kupp, all the rest of it. But maybe, you know, something in the cons ledger there. I do think, though, with all this stuff, Kirk Cousins, new coaching staff, new philosophy, second year for Bijan, uber talented prospect. If you didn't think he broke out last year as a rookie, this is going to be the year that it happens. Cody?
I like it. I'm going to go tight end here. And the tight end I'm going to go to is a second-year guy. Normally we see these rookie tight ends kind of have a slow start, and we didn't see that from Sam Laporta, but we did see it from Michael Mayer. Mayer didn't play the first couple games of the year, but ended pretty hot. He ended with most of his utilization coming between week 5 and week 14 before going down with a toe injury. So I think you're going to get a little bit of kind of pushed in value there as we get even closer to the season. I haven't looked at where he's going in best ball right now. I've been kind of focused on the NFL draft, but I think when the season comes around, you're going to be getting the value on him in like the 14th, 15th, and 16th rounds. Probably at the earliest as far as seasonal goes. And when you look at that offense, outside of Devontae Adams, I'm not really worried about anybody. Everything we've seen from the underlying metrics on Michael Mayer being the motherfucking Mackey Award winner in college and being as prolific as he was and being a second round pick, with the short utilization that he had last year, just 40 targets, and you compare that to kind of some of the upper tight ends in the group, he averaged 11 yards per reception last year, which was top 10 with a minimum of 30 targets in the NFL. And that's George Kittle's at the top of 15. Janu, David Njoku are all in that 11 range. 19 out of 27 receptions were for first downs. I think when you just look at what the Raiders are going to do, and I think this a little bit of this upside Lynch is on, of course, a quarterback coming to town. If they do bring in a quarterback in the first round, top 15, I think there's more than likely Devontae Adams stays on this team. But if they don't bring in a quarterback and this season starts out slowly, it's going to be the same thought I had last year. It's like they're going to be trying. You have to be trying to move this guy as they try to continue to build whatever they have. Jacoby Myers is there. Trey Tucker is there. But Michael Mayer feels like the guy that is going to take a big step forward this year. And you could see him pressing 700, 800 receiving yards. And as you know, in fantasy football, the tight end position, it's been tough the last couple of years, but last year's group was the one that was going to help bridge that gap, and I think Mayer is going to be one that's going to continue to help that.
He's being taken in the same pocket with really it's Cade Otton. It's these two guys are kind of close to one another. We're talking 13th round. So that's kind of where we are with him. He's going behind Michael Mayer's going behind like Cole Kmet and Luke Musgrave and these guys slightly ahead of just kind of, you know, dudes that, I mean, a backup in Isaiah Likely, Jonnu Smith, who's going to an offense in Miami that doesn't utilize his tight end for anything, Hunter Henry, you know, these, I mean, I say, why not take a stab on Michael Mayer?
I feel good about him, even if they keep O'Connell or, you know, and it's in this bad situation. I would feel better if they bring a quarterback in, but I think that's more than likely benefits Adam staying there and continue to take targets away. I think if they just roll with what they got with O'Connell, which there's murmurs of them doing, and then potentially drafting someone later on, like whatever, Rattler or whatever.
What about Minshew? You'll just take what the defense gives him, like for sure.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that would only benefit him from a target perspective.
All right, trash man. Who do you got?
Well, as a trash man, I figure I should start out pretty trashy with a bang. And so I'm going to go with A.T. Perry.
Oh God!
Trash man. Let's go!
Oh, trash man! What do you mean?
The Saints are, you know, they lost Michael Thomas. Free agency. They got one of the worst cap situations in the league. I think they're going to have to rely on Perry for a larger role, and you know he ran just over 200 routes on the year, managed 4 touchdowns, 246 yards. His 20-point, he had what? 20.5 yards per reception, that led the team. He had 4 touchdowns, tied for second most on the team. Just looking at his stats and the limited amount of work he got, and the situation in New Orleans, I feel like Perry could benefit.
A.T. Perry, hold on. Let me just where's A.T. Perry even going right now?
Dude, he's definitely a
20th
rounder.
He hasn't been on my – yeah, so he's in last pick territory. So let's see. These guys that are going around where
234 is the ADP.
Yeah, so he's going around – dude, Mac Hollins is going ahead of him. Andre Josivas, whose value's been just evaporated with
team. Hey, value pick in the last round.
Mingo, who stinks. What about Josh Reynolds? He's going right there in the same spot. Would you rather have Josh Reynolds or A.T. Perry now that Reynolds is in Denver?
Perry. That Reynolds thing, I think, is Fugaze. I would take Perry.
I'd take Perry.
I kind of like Reynolds. I mean,
I like both of them, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. A.T. Perry, good enough. From 1A to another, for me, another dude who's not necessarily, you know, I don't think he's too far off anybody's radar, but this is the year for Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback. If you just look at what he was able to do, and I know he played in 4 games. One of those 4 games, he got hurt super early, right? He was actually banged up in 2 games, right? But even with 1 game where he got a little bit banged up, the game at Houston, remember that one where he only went 6 for 10, but in that same game, he did have 3 rushing attempts for 35 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he scored 18.3 fantasy points in that game, 25.2 in the first one versus Jacksonville, and then versus the Rams, almost a 30-pointer. He gets hurt in week 5 versus Tennessee. Now, so even when we take into account the week two, I believe that was a concussion, wasn't it, when he banged his head in the end zone on one of those rushing touchdowns? Because then he missed week 3. Am I off on that? And then it was the shoulder in week 5? I think that's right. Yeah. But let's just even take into account the game where he got hurt at Houston, or if we decided like, hey, he didn't come back at half, even if we're going to make him have half the productivity in the second half as he would have had in the first half, you would still have to give him like 27 points for that game. But let's just keep it at 18.3. So 25.2, 29.6, 18.3. If we put that up against just over the course of a whole season, and I'd realize that's hard to do, especially with the fact with how much he runs and stuff. I mean, gosh, in these games, he never ran for less than 35 yards. And, yeah, I mean, so that's just an amazing floor. In games where he was healthy the whole time, his rushing floor was 40 yards. His rushing touchdown floor was one over the course of these games. He had one touchdown in each of the three and then two in the other one. It's like you're talking about a player who would, on average, even when we are factoring in one game where he gets injured halfway through and doesn't come back at halftime, the only guys ahead of him would have been on a points per game basis over the course of the whole season would have been Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson. He would have been quarterback four, right? And that's with a game where he misses a half counted. If we were to take that game and project out the second half at just 50% of the production of the first half, we'd be talking about a dude in Anthony Richardson that would have been quarterback one on the season. And right now he's being taken at what, quarterback six right now? Is that it? Quarterback six? Let me just look and see. So right now on Underdog, so it goes Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, and Anthony Richardson. You're getting a one-round discount from C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, to Anthony Richardson. You're getting a one-and-a-half to two-round discount, basically a two-round discount from Lamar Jackson to Anthony Richardson. I think it's crazy. So far, as I've been doing these simulations, we're running it about a 64% exposure clip to Anthony Richardson right now, and I'm fine with it.
Hard to argue with any part of that. It's kind of cool that we go from A.T. Perry, the exact bottom, to Anthony Richardson, the exact top of the conversation.
Covering all bases.
Covering all bases. I like that. It's hard to argue against Anthony Richardson. I mean, it's the Konami King right there. If he stays,
he said that he's on a mission this year.
Yeah, but the mission. I mean, he was on it last year. The bottom line is, if he can stay healthy, it's Yahtzee. Like that's it for me. I'm going to go back to Atlanta where you just came from, and I'm going to go with Drake London. Drake London, some might say he's broken out already, but he hasn't technically. 1,000 yards in the NFL is a breakout. 866 as a rookie, 905 last year, only six total touchdowns across those 31 games. Currently he's going off on Underdog as wide receiver 10. Some people think it's a little high. I think it's kind of proper. It's behind Marvin Harrison, ahead of Devonta Adams, ahead of Brandon Ayuk, ahead of Nico Collins, who's falling, ahead of Stephon Diggs. But when you look at really, we talked about it a couple weeks ago on the show, and that is just making it through the grinder. Pitts has made it through the grinder. London has also made it through the grinder, and that is dealing with Desmond Ridder, dealing with Arthur Smith, dealing with the lack of offensive output, and now insert Kirk Cousins comes in after being in Minnesota and dating back to Washington, throwing for 4,000 yards every year outside of 2019. And of course last year, cause he got injured early, but he's thrown for over 4,000 yards every single year. Since then he's thrown for over 600 pass attempts three times over the course of those 7 or 8 years. Kirk Cousins is going to rise all boats. He's the tide that rises all boats in Atlanta. You talked about Bijan earlier. It's only going to benefit the run game. We saw it with Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, allowing Dalvin Cook to give us a great fantasy output on back-to-back multiple years. And to think at the wide receiver position, it's something that London Pitts and whoever else, insert, you know, Darnell Mooney, whatever, it's going to benefit all these guys. And I think London's going to be one that takes that big step forward and jumps to that 130, 140 target range just based on pure output. As long as Zach Robinson doesn't limit Kirk Cousins, I think there's going to be no problem with London getting up to that 130, 140 target range, maybe higher, and pressing 13, 1400 yards. Now we just need touchdowns, and then that'll fulfill that top 10 ranking.
They're going to come. Trash man, who do you got?
I got Zamir White going back to the Raiders. You know, I forget how big Zamir White is. You know, 6 foot, 215 pounds. I think with Antonio Pierce, I think he's kind of going to be a no-nonsense kind of head coach, going to go with the run game. Young quarterback, at least right now.
We saw how determined he was for it last year. He's like, man, if we get Josh Jacobs to 100 yards, we're gonna win the game. And he kept trying to do it. If he keeps the same philosophy, I mean, Zamir's.
I think he will. Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot of variables in that offense right now, but I don't think White's one of them. I think they're going to be, he's going to be somebody they can rely on a weekly basis. He also, he's a good pass catcher too. You know, I mean, he hasn't gotten a whole lot of work in Las Vegas now. You know, only 38 receptions for 255 yards.
I mean, it's not terrible for the amount that he played.
Right. But you know, that number's going to go up. And I just think with the amount of usage they're going to get out of him, they haven't made any free agency moves that make you think they're concerned about the position. Maybe they add somebody in the draft, but you know, it's one of the weaker RB classes we've seen in the last few years. So I think, you know, all of these things point to Zamir White being the guy for the Raiders this season and having a lot of touches.
Here's the million-dollar question, Trash Man. They're going at the same ADP. The same ADP. Rank these players. Austin Eckler, now that he's a Washington Commander. Zamir White, now that he could be taking over the lead role for the Las Vegas Raiders. And Trey Benson, who's in a black box. We have no idea where he's going to end up.
Is Benson being drafted before White right now?
I'm not telling you. They're basically all the same.
I go with White. I mean, it's found money.